You might like to open your Bible to Romans in chapter 4 again for a moment. And remember, we're looking at Hebrews 11. And as we look at Hebrews 11, the subject is with faith. Do they have faith? The just, the righteous, just. The righteous shall live by faith. It's the only way to go. Genesis to Revelation. You got to live by faith. And we have been doing that. Now, just to remind us, the rightness is important because everything can be done. Anything can be done. But is it right? It needs to be right. Therefore, as you remember in Romans 4, 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And you want to note on the, as you're looking at verse 5, you have the word, the verb believe, and then you heard the noun faith. Faith and believing go together. They're from the same root. To be persuaded. Faith, believe. I'm persuaded. I believe. I'm persuaded. I have faith. So the faith is counted for righteousness. And we try to do that little illustration with the little card that God, who were to have faith in God, I'll do it with the Bible, I guess. We're to have faith in God. Is God's word. We're to have faith in God. And when we have, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when we have faith with God, we give our faith to God. And God, we do that. Now God, we see it as faith. God sees it as righteousness. His faith is counted for righteousness. God sees, we see faith. God sees rightness. Easy? Wonderful. That's how you get righteous. And you need to be righteous. Romans in chapter 5. And you'll notice again in verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. That's by Adam. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Righteousness is God's wonderful provision in his Son. And hang on now. And you can go all the way through here. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, on the other side of the coin, by the righteousness of one, our Lord, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Sliding down to verse 20. Moreover, the law rented that the offense might abound. So we're very conscious of sin. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That, verse 21, as sin hath reigned unto death, so might grace reign unto righteousness, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God gives us, and you know, putting that together all the way, 2 Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, Christ died on the cross. Why did he die on the cross? To pay the penalty for our sin. We just read it in Romans 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us on our behalf, to be our perfect substitute, a perfect Savior, who knew no sin. That purpose, what's the purpose? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And to lock that in, 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 1, and you'll note verse 29, 1 and 29, that no flesh should glory in this presence, but of him are you, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, God made it so, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If they're going to have anything exciting about your life, it's God. God has made you, given you in an overwhelming way, a wonderful, wonderful relationship to himself. And you can't beat that. That's the absolute necessity, the righteousness. So righteousness is what, and it's our, we share it every time to ourselves. We're trusting in not our righteousness, not whether we did this right or we did that right. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to do it right. But we aren't trusting in that. We're trusting in the righteousness of God that has to put all these pieces together. And all the pieces come together. So you may have a good piece over here, but it's connected to this piece, which is a bad piece. You have a good thought over here, but then you got another thought over here that isn't good. You got a problem. So we want to count on whose righteousness? God's, who puts this all together. That makes sense to you. Now, back over to Hebrews. And Hebrews in chapter 11. And remember what we've done. We've looked at faith. We just did it. Good faith and righteousness, so we have that. Keep that in mind. So faith is counted for righteousness. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So, and coming off of chapter 10, if I can, verse 38, 10 and 38. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So, faith is the subject, and we looked at that. Faith is essential. How do we understand anything? Hebrews 11:3. God has a wonderful, wonderful creation that we live in. We're part of it, creation. The only way we can understand the creation is by faith. God made everything out of nothing. And the only way you can tackle that is by faith. What? You got to believe God. God did it. If you leave God out, you're stuck with where do we come from, evolution and all those different things, going to Mars or something with the big telescopes, James Webb and all of that, looking up in this solar universe, see the stars, doing all of these things. We're trying to find who are we? Who are we? Where are we? Why are we here? Etc. Now, so that's by faith. That's our thing. And everything we share together is done by faith. Faith is letting something be what it is, and we share together a substance. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance, the foundation, the support of all that we believe. So we're going to go, and faith says the pew is the pew when you sit in it. Faith says the faucet is the faucet, and you turn it on. Faith says the key, and the key belongs in the car, and you put the key in the car. You believe by faith it's the right key, the right car, and you believe that by faith, if you turn the key, the motor should start by faith. That's what you do. You eat food by faith. Everything. You're believing, letting something be what it is. How do you prove the pew is the pew? By faith. You sit in it. If someone comes by and we look, I can tell you believe the pew because you're sitting on it. Your faith bears record. It supports the reality. Faith supports the reality of something or the unreality of it. So, faith, if you got that. Now, and we looked at it, so the Hebrews 11 is all about substantiating that God said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So God said that. So now, we looked at Abel, and Abel sacrificed, Cain did not. And Abel believed God. He believed God. And God saw his faith in the sacrifices that he did, honoring, like Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, the Christ on the cross. And God saw Abel's faith. What was Abel doing? He was believing God. God said the formula is you've got to have Christ. Christ has to die on the cross. You're going to sacrifice an animal to show that you believe that. And and the witness, as you have in chapter 4, and the witness was born to God, by God, for Abel, and Abel was considered, I'll read it right in the middle of the verse, Cain, which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Sacrifice, that's what he did. God said, he's a righteous man. Remember what we just did in the thing? Faith down, but God sees that it's righteous. So, now we did that, and the list begins. But, before, and you, when you come off of chapter 11, verse 4, you will know, please, in the process, that Abel, and then we went to Enoch. And Enoch was translated, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony. What was the testimony that Enoch had? He pleased God. He pleased God. That's what he did. Now, to put that together, back over to Genesis. And this, all of this that I'm looking at, 1, 2, and 3 here, illustrations are before the flood. So, right in that period. So you know, how did handle all human beings? No Jew, no Gentile, no politic, no religion. What do they do? They had an opportunity to believe God in whose presence they were. Or they could reject him, like Cain. Cain rejected him. And here's all the people. Now, so when we come to Genesis in chapter 5, picking up, if I can, in verse 18. And you'll get a little the context. And Jared, this is the list of humans that are developing on planet Earth. And Jared lived in 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch was still alive, lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So here, just think, you get it. Here's Cain, Abel, Cain, sliding down the head, down the corridor of time. Sons and daughters are born all over the place. And here we are, lots of people. They're all multiplying, lots of them. And so in the multiplication of lots of people, and then we come along, and there's Enoch is part of this crowd. Enoch is. Noah's part of the crowd after Enoch now. So they're going down the corridor of time, looking at all these humans. And all these humans are there. Now God, what they have a right to believe and know the Lord. God's going to give them, well, hang on to that part. Now, having said that, here's Enoch. Enoch lives there, and he walks with God. That's what he does. Now, why does he walk with God? Why does God use that? Because, over to Genesis and chapter 3, remember now, no politic, no religion, wonderful conditions, even though sin's taking effect, and then there's God. So, here's Adam and Eve in the garden, etc., and in chapter 3 and in verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now here comes, after they've sinned, Adam and Eve knew they were naked. They lost the wonderful coating light that God had put over them in a most wonderful way, and it was gone. They knew they were naked. But, verse 8, they heard the voice, the sound of the footsteps. The voice. Here's the footsteps, sound. The voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And God was taking his afternoon walk in their presence, Adam and Eve. And they walked with God. God spent time with them every day so that Adam and Eve could enjoy God. And they walked with God. That's your little verb, God. It's all reflexive, all that we're going to look at. Each, the same word, reflexive. They themselves walked. God himself was doing the walking. Enoch himself was doing the walking. Okay. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so you understand that Enoch was walking with God, and it pleased God. It pleased God. Why? Because God was created him to know and honor him. So all they had to do was honor God and walk with him, enjoy God. Enjoy God's presence, not disturbed by anything else, just enjoy God, if you would, in a most personal way. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so he's walking with God, and in the process, Enoch is going to go, and in the process of walking, all of a sudden, he gets so old, as we read, and he got old enough. Everything was old enough then. And everything was old. And everyone's developing, lots of people. But Noah, Enoch is marked as a person walking with God, like Adam and Eve walked with God. Abel walked with God, as it were. He knew him. He honored him. Enoch walked with God. Now, what's happening? What are you going to do, God? I'm going to show my wonderful grace. So, here comes Enoch. All these people are born. And Enoch's going to go. And God, what are you going to do? I'm going to take Enoch. He walked, as you read, verse 24. Enoch walked with God. He was not. Why not? For God, verb, to take him to himself. God took Enoch to himself. Why did you do that, God? Why did you do that? Because the next step is Noah. And Noah walked with God. But only Noah walked with God of the thousands and thousands and millions of people, whatever it was. Only Noah. He took Enoch to save him from what he was going to do in the Genesis flood. He took him out. Now, hang on. Over if you can to Jude. And picking up in Jude about Enoch. And you remember, Jude is judging the godlessness that's in the world, and you need to be saved in the light of it. Sliding down, if I can, Jude, and pick up in verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are the spots in your feast of charity. In other words, everything's defiled. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about above winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, they aren't in good condition, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. It's very obvious, very bad. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness. Enoch is living in a world of unbelief, and God's going to take him. Verse 14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. The Lord's going to return. What was Enoch's message for all the years that he lived? His message was, God is righteous, and he's going to judge all that don't have saving faith, don't believe God. They're all going to be judged. That was his message. They're all going to be judged. So here's Enoch, and he does what he said. Enoch took him. What is our message? We're in grace. What are we supposed to be saying to an unbelieving world? God took us, is waiting to what? Take us. For what? What's going to happen after Enoch is taken? The Noahic flood. That's what's going to happen. What are you doing, God? What were you doing way back then? I'm going to give you an illustration of how I'm going to do things. And God's going to go and take us up in a moment to begin the great tribulation. God's going to do it. Going to take all the believers. Enoch, you're the only one apart from Noah. Noah. And Noah's going to be the only one. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so Enoch walked with God and honored God, and he did so. And he honored the invisible God. That's what he did. Hebrews 11:3. How do you ever know God did made you guys and did everything? How do you know God is God? Well, here is God. How do you talk to an invisible God? You talk to him. And Enoch talked to God. Enoch walked with God. That's what he did. So, and what did it do? It pleased God. It pleased him. That's the Septuagint translation of that. By faith, Enoch walked with God by faith. Septuagint is going to say, Enoch walked with God. He pleased him. It pleased God. What pleased God? Walking with God. How did it please him? Now, what do you know from the word that? Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, That's why you have the verse 11:5, you can see the end. And his testimony, 11:5, that he did what? He pleased God. That's a Septuagint translation. He pleased God. It wasn't when he was taken up. No, it was because he honored God. That's what he did. Therefore, that movement moves us straight into the next statement. Verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's the same word, same verb, to please. You can't please God without faith. Because you can't, how do you understand anything? If you don't have faith in God, you got to believe God is. If I can't see him, I can't touch him, feel him, taste him. God is. You got to believe. That's the whole thing in the beginning. What did you ever tell people? You're the creator and the savior, and that they have to understand to believe you, that you are the originator, the creator, and the wonderful redeemer. God is. So now, having said that, so when you come now to verse 6, but without faith that it is impossible to please him. You can't please him without faith. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. What are you trying to prove, God? What are you trying to say to us? You better believe that I am. You say, I can't see, I can't feel you. How do I know you is? Right? I don't see you anywhere, God. And that, think of the world. If you go up and down the street, this street, and ask people where God is, how well do they, what kind of clarity do they see God? How conscious are they of God? Well, all you got to do is go to work, school, or watch television, or whatever you do, and spend the whole day looking, think about it, and wait for somebody to say they're conscious of God, they evidence God. And you're waiting, right? You're waiting for them to, someone say, are any of you conscious that you're in the presence of God? Anyone? See? No one's there. Without faith, it's impossible. But you don't believe. No, I don't want to believe. Believe what? God is. That's the verse 6. All faith that is impossible, please God, for he that cometh to God must believe, little word we're looking at, faith, believe, that he is, that he is. Now, having said that, and looking at that, let's take a little moment and put some more ligaments and stuff around the word please. It's impossible. You have to go and please God. Romans chapter 8. And all we're doing is surrounding, getting it, making pleas get a little bigger, a little better. Romans 8. Romans 8, picking up, please, in verse 6. Be not for to be carnally minded is death, and remember, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But because the carnal mind is not enmity against God, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh, there's your little word, cannot please God. You can't do it without faith. I didn't mean, hold it, if you allow me, because we're so, anyway, hang on to that thought and go back in your mind over to Enoch, and back over to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, just to remember to tie it. Here's Enoch. God took him. The Genesis flood and judgment's coming. God spared him, took him home. That's what he did. A wonderful, wonderful heads up of what he was going to do to the, here's the church, bearing witness. Now back in, here's the church is taken up and the tribulation. Now, remember the difference now in the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation. God goes and leaves everyone that's saved. Everyone that isn't saved, he takes. Just the opposite. Right now, if the Lord were to come before the next few raindrops fall, he's going to take all the believers home. If you're saved, he's going to take you home. And then begins the tribulation. In the end of the tribulation, on the contrary, he's coming. But this time, he's going to reverse it. And as you know, he quoted Matthew 24, verse 35. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But in that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father, he knows. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. What's that going to be like? For as in the days that were before the flood, they went eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Complete opposite. Just to keep that in mind. Back over, if I can, to Romans. We did Romans. Romans chapter 15. And in Romans in chapter 15, picking up, you'll see it three times. When then, chapter 15, Romans, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please, there's your little word, to please ourselves. Let every one of us please, there's your word again, his neighbor for his good edification. Again, verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Wow. And for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That's why we're looking. That's why Enoch, why are you telling us all these things in Hebrews when you already said them in Genesis? I can tell you how it works. It's all working out. All the pieces go together. That's one of the things you want to understand in the Bible. Just a side thought. Theology and theologies there and the system that we live in, churchianity, etc. Fundamentalism, all that. So we have the New Testament, and there's the group that hang on to the New Testament, and slightly using the Old, almost neglecting the Old. The Old is irrelevant. They don't connect it. On the other hand, the people that use the Old don't connect the New. They don't connect the New. So they're busy, Judaism, etc., connecting the Old without connecting the New. And if your approach, well, we're dispensationalists. We ought to be. That means we have a stewardship of this book, of the wonderful mysteries, the truths that we're looking at. We're custodians of them. Now, in the process, we need to understand what? If you want to understand the Bible, the errors, theological errors that are there, rise up because we take one section or another section and we leave out a section because it isn't relevant. Something isn't relevant and we leave it out. So we never get that. What is the key? You want to understand Genesis to Revelation, the 66 books. God, one book, one outworking of his will, and from Genesis to Revelation, he is found, as we know, the search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. We need to understand the whole 66 books of the truth. We need to get the truth as found in Genesis and concluded in Revelation. We need to get when we've got the whole picture, we stay balanced. We got the whole of God. Here's the book, and here's God. God, we want to understand the truth. That's what we're doing. We're going to do that in the morning, in the process. God, here we are. We're trying to understand. So we're going all over. Why? Because you are already there. You're already in the whole picture. I need to get not a little spot of you. I need to get that truth. Please, what does please mean to you, God? Why did you use it? Why did you say that? Without faith, it's impossible to please you. Why on earth did you say that? Because God, and Enoch pleased God. The rest of the world didn't. Now, hey, if I can, sliding over if I can. Colossians. And in the prayer, what would we know? We put the pieces together. Colossians 1 and verse 10. That you might walk, remember what did God walked in the garden? Genesis 3:8. That's what he did. He was used to walking with people, used to walking together with people. Well, that's what you gotta do. Okay. So that you might walk, prayer, worthy, balance the scale of the Lord, unto all, there's your little word, pleasing. All pleasing. Uh-huh. Noah, what did Enoch do? He pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What are we supposed to do? Well, you want to walk by faith. Everything has to be by faith to please God. And being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. John chapter 8, Gospel of John. And in John chapter 8, and you'll remember it, verse 28, our Lord, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things in his perfect humanity. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Why not? For I do always those things that please him. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I honor God. I please God. That's what he did. He is sinless Son of God. Enjoyed God. That's what we're supposed to do. They'll catch that in the morning, maybe. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 3, and picking up, in verse 20, 3 and 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, in other words, we're looking to God comfortably, then have we confidence toward God? Why do we have confidence toward God? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, God, whatever we ask in your name, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's what we're doing. I want God's will. Say it simply. You want God's will the rest of the day. That's what you want. So you inch your way along. And we're confident, comfortable, confessing our sin, looking to God, being saved, trusting in God's faith, trusting God's righteousness. And here we are looking. God, we're going to be. So it's a wonderful thing, God. And we're pleasing. That's, God, you're happy, I'm happy. Enoch was happy. God was happy. Noah was happy. And God was happy. Now, back over, if I can, to Hebrews. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible, cannot happen, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And what is faith? Faith supports the pew. You believe the pew, and you bear testimony, evidence, that you believe the pew is the pew. You believe the car is the car. That's what you do. You bear testimony. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. God is God. Period. Wow. And that he is a rewarder, a payer in full of them which diligently seek him. He pays up. If you seek me with all your heart, you're going to absolutely find me. Absolutely. God, you're going to be there. I want to please you. I just want your will. Just that little thing. God, I want your will. I don't want to debate, dialogue, just going to rest. God, thank you for your will. My heart's beating and so far and everything, and that's what each of us. And that's what we're going to trust you, God. God, work it all out. The rest, I can't work the rest of this out. So God, I'm trusting you. That pleases God. That pleases God. So I can walk with God. That's what I do. Please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's a rewarder, a payer in full. Now, so then, having said that, keeping that in mind if I can, here's Noah. And verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, and remember, where's the rain? There is no rain. Is there going to be a flood, too much water? No. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. Okay. But God told them it's going to exist. See? God told them. Do it another way, moving us into Peter, 2 Peter. God tells us what? I'm going to take this earth, and I'm going to do in one big hydrogen fusion or something. Going to go and what? I'm going to take the earth and everything in heaven and burn it up in one shot. Now, what do you think that's going to look like? And here are his trillions of light years into space, galaxies, trillions. I'm going to remove them all just like that. What do? We believe God. What did Noah do? Noah believed there'd be a flood. There is no flood. There is no rain. He believed. That's what he's doing. He believed. Now, verse 6, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his soul, house, by the which he condemned the world and became the father, became heir of the righteousness. Because without faith, God counts the faith as righteousness. Mm-hmm. Abraham believed God by faith, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so he is Noah. And then I'll read the end of the verse again. And became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. That's what he did. By faith. That's what he did, by faith. Simple. Life's so simple. Wonderfully simple. It just gets complicated because we leave God out. And when we leave God out, it gets very, very difficult. Now, having said that, and you know, in Noah, going back over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. And Genesis 6, picking up in thought. And remember now, Noah is going to go and believe God. And he's going to build this enormous battleship, the Ark. And again, only God can do these things, to give you the ability to do it. Because they didn't have computers, they didn't have electronic gear of measuring pressures and everything. They didn't have big power vehicles and everything. And Noah, what did you do? You went and built that battleship, the Ark. I don't know. That's what God did. God can do that. And he did it. And it took 120 years. That's what it did. Because God's going to wait, remember? Verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. I'm not going to keep fighting them. I'm going to quit. I'm going to back off. 4, that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be as 120 years. And so God waited and gave them 120 years to wait. And God did all of that. In chapter 6, verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So Noah lived with the whole environment, all along. He and his family, they lived for 120 years at this point. They lived before the flood. And they lived with unsaved people, and that's what they lived with. And it was getting worse and worse and worse and worser. That's what it did. It didn't get better. Wasn't going to get better. It didn't going to get better. See, if you're going into the tribulation, it can't get better. Enoch walked. So what's going to, we can't change what's going to happen, no. But what did you do? You, in kindness, took Enoch up and left Noah because he's going to be the testimony to the unsaved, to the unsaved world, that they didn't believe. And Noah's going to build the ark, and God is going to count it to him for righteousness, that he honored God's word and did what didn't even make sense. He did it, and God honored him. God honored Enoch up, until going up. The tribulation is going to happen, and God's going to go and honor the return of his son. And all of it's going to happen in a most wonderful way. And as you note, back then, when humans were very, very, very sharp, do you think Cain was very sharp? He just sinned. He's got 2 minutes of sin in his brain working on him. It's all there. It's all there, but it isn't developed. Everyone around him, Adam and Eve are saved. Abel saved. The skill. And Cain built a city. That's what he did. And everyone was able to do music and art and engineering and everything. Wow. That's what they did. Humans were brilliant. And they say, well, we're brilliant, not without our cell phone, not without our little thing. We are comparatively, we're going downhill. The humans of today, the now you say in the mid in the days of Reformation and all that, people lived 40 years and it was wonderful. Now we live 80 years. That's true. And if you want to really push it, you can program yourself so that when your heart stops beating, you can get a whole heavy machinery, electronic network. It'll keep your heart going. It'll feed you, keep all your body. And when the Lord comes, he can check you out. See? Well, now, so God, here you are going and doing what you do. And Noah believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And in closing, just to see it over in Ezekiel. About Noah. And you remember the tribulation with Nebuchadnezzar is going to level the city, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And the people saying, well, how are we going to stop it? No, you aren't going to stop it. Are we going to stop the Genesis flood? No. Are we going to stop the tribulation? No. People don't want it stopped. Ezekiel 14, verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they could not deliver. They should deliver but their own souls. By their what? Righteousness. They believed God, his faith accounted for righteousness. That's what they did. If they were there, that's the great prayer warriors, Noah and Daniel and Job. And if they were there, you couldn't stop it. You couldn't stop what's going to happen. All God's going to do is take you home. You aren't going to stop it. God's just going to take you out of it. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Thank you.